take another piece of paper. If you don't have one, ask a neighbor. Close your computers. On line number one, obviously you will put your name. You will spell your name correctly. If you misspell your name, I probably should give you a zero. Because if you get this far, you don't know how to spell your name. That's not good. And next to your name somewhere, probably in the center-ish, you're going to put something along the lines that it says, quiz number one. Is there anyone at this point that does not have a piece of paper? Is there anyone at this point that does not have a writing utensil to pair with said paper? Okay, good. Hurry up, young man. You've missed three steps already. Paper, writing utensil, name, a quiz. So four steps. And I don't discriminate against the size of the paper if that's all you have. Although if it's too small, it might get lost. Someone actually had the audacity, you know, like those little like memo, like little notepads? Someone actually did a quiz on one of those. Pissed me off. Yeah, because it fell out of the stack, and like I took the quiz. I'm like, what'd you take the quiz on? Little paper. I found it 2 months later at the bottom of my bag. That's on them. But I had to give the person a perfect score because I lost the quiz. Don't do that to me. All right, are you ready? See, look at that. I was lollygagging. Give you some time. Wicked hard quiz number one. I want you to tell me, in comparing criminal law versus civil law, who sues who in either or both criminal and civil? Who determines the case or the outcome? Criminal, who determines the outcome? Civil. What's the burden of proof? Criminal case, civil case. And what is the outcome or outcomes? For criminal versus civil. Go. Spelling does not count.
If it's in cursive, is that okay?
I can read cursive. I'm old enough. Although I can't say the same for them. Yes.
Can I make like a T-chart?
You can do whatever you need to do to answer it. Just so long as I can read it. You can leave those things on. Now that you get all the way off. A little silly things on. Man, quiz. Times of the essence.
is civil. Who sues who? Who determines the outcome? Who?
What's the burden of proof? And what are the outcomes? Christian T. Kelly. And Vivian. And Samantha. And Abby. And Alexis. And Julian. And Jane. Carlos. That's Jordan. That's Kobe. Leandro. Elijah. Heidi. Betty. Who's Ben? Okay. Are you Gabriel? In the back, you don't look like a Charlotte. Who are you?
Anthony.
You're Anthony, okay. And who are you? Well, you're a Christian D. Yeah. Minutes. Should be enough. Down to a minute. These three rows, make sure your names are on them. Make sure your papers get to Christian. These three rows, make sure your names are on them. Get them to height, please. Time. Time is of the essence. When you take your exams, yes, you will be taking them at home. Yes, you will be doing them online. But the exams are timed. Time is critical. Why? Well, that's the standard that we measure human existence by. And ultimately, we only have so much time.
So let's see how you did. By the way, partial credit is always offered. So let's see how we did.
There's always one.
Sorry.
That's all right. In a criminal trial, who sues who?
Single person versus the commonwealth.
So government is involved. But if it's criminal trial, who is actually doing the suing? And who is being sued? It's the government doing the suing, and it's the person being sued. Okay, good. Civil side. Civil trial. Who's suing who?
Two people.
Could be two businesses, two entities. Some plaintiff is suing some defendant. All right. Who determines the outcome in a criminal trial by default?
Jury
does. Who determines the outcome of a civil trial by default?
The judge.
Good. Now, could you have a bench trial in a criminal case? Yes. Could you have a jury trial in a civil case? Yes, but it has to be requested. By default, jury for criminal, judge by civil.
Burden of proof, criminal trial.
The state.
No, burden of proof, what's the level? How much evidence must the prosecution present?
Beyond
a reasonable doubt. What's the burden of proof on the civil side? You'll get this one, because we're going to hear this one a lot. Preponderance of the evidence. Do you have it?
51%?
Like 51%. If you kind of explained it, I would give it to you. But the standard is actually by a preponderance of the evidence. More likely than not. And outcomes. What are the potential outcomes on a criminal case?
Jail.
There's one. Another one. Death.
Fines.
Good. What is the outcome on a civil case?
Fine.
Returning property, money.
Money.
Depends on.
Not a fine. A fine implies that you're being punished, but it's usually compensation, money, damages, something along those lines, or giving back what you took. All right, good. How many people got at least half of it right? Excellent. Good. That's always the goal.
Always the goal. By the way, will you see a question like this on the exam? Yeah, yeah, very likely. Very likely.
Because I'm going to use this as an example. When I give you a cluster of information, think of it in that sense. Any questions on this? All right, with luck, I'll have them for you on Thursday. No, wait. I see you Monday, Wednesday. I'm so confused. Wednesday. All right.
Who are you?
Oh, me.
Are you in the right room?
I believe so, 212S.
What class?
Business law.
How are you just coming now?
I mixed up my classes.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, we got to talk after class. Don't go anywhere, okay? All right.
You had a home. Did you not? I believe you did. You had to read a case and write a brief. So here's how this is going to work.
You, like I said, have the ability to earn extra credit by doing your homework.
And how do you have a chance to earn extra credit? Well, I'm going to call on some of you, and I'm going to ask questions. And if you have your brief in front of you and you are prepared, by the way, you can read off your paper, then guess what? Not only do you get credit for doing your homework, but you will get extra credit.
Of course, if you're not prepared,
then you will probably not get credit for doing the assignment, and you will not have a chance to earn extra credit.
And here's where I get to have fun. Because sometimes I look for volunteers,
and I think we've already kind of established, you know, who's not afraid to raise their hands in class. But with this, I find the people who have been hiding.
And I am going to start off with Anthony. Hi. How are you?
Poorly.
Why? Did you lose money?
Yes.
Me too. But I tried mitigating my losses, but it didn't help. But anyways, question number one for you, and this is the threshold question. Did you do your homework?
Yes.
Excellent. So you have the possible of getting a yellow dot, which means extra credit. Now here's the kick. If you can't answer the questions, you can ask for a lifeline. But what we're going to do today is we're going to model the type of information you need to have if I told you to look at the case. So that way you can have it in front of us. Because we're going to try to learn rules of law by looking at how the court imposes the rules of law. So, in order to figure out the rule of law, you have to first, before anything else, figure out what is going on in this situation that resulted in two parties coming before an appeals court. Because this isn't a trial. This is an appeal. And as we're going to learn when we do the process, the civil and the criminal process, is the only way you can get an appeal is if a mistake was made. And here's a little hint. The mistake is the issue that the appeals court looks at. Because something went wrong down below, and one of the parties are saying, I didn't get justice. So, your question is where you should always try to begin as you're mapping out your briefs. What is the legal issue that this appeals court looked at? And by the way, it's usually written in there. What's going on in Coon v. Pub Zone?
So we got a...
No. This is what I wanted to answer to. What is the issue? Did you find the issue? I identified it in there. Did you find it?
Who is liable for the injuries caused to
it? Right. So we are trying, because just by that one word, liability, we know this is not a criminal case. Plus, by the way, you also can look at the parties. The fact that it was one party versus another, so civil. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out liability. So who is going to be liable for what?
The injuries caused by the attack.
Liability for injuries. Now, question. Is this the issue that's articulated in the case? That's what the issue is? Does anyone agree or does anyone disagree? Are we good? Yes.
I was looking, I thought the issue was if there was a duty for the Pub Zone to protect against the attack of a third party.
Oh, question for you.
Yeah.
This is a tough question for you. Can you have liability if there is no duty?
No.
Oh. So we're also looking to see if there's a duty. Duty imposed. What's a duty?
They have to act on something.
It's a responsibility. It's something the law requires you to do. Do you disagree with that?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
You can argue if you want. All right. Good. Because we can't figure out the case unless we know what the court is looking for, because the rest of it's just words. So what the court is trying to determine ultimately is, did one of the parties owe a duty to another party? Because if they owe a duty, there could be liability for injuries. But if there is no duty, no injuries or compensation, or no compensation for injuries will be awarded. Okay, good. Have I lost anybody yet? The court doesn't make shit up in general. What the court tries doing is applying a legal standard, a rule, a law,
that was made. And if it's civil, chances are it's going to be a common law principle. And usually, the first thing the court states before it does any analysis is the rule of law that they use when they considered the case.
Jordan! You didn't do it? Oh, you know what now I have to do? I have to go this way. Because I had the nice yellow marker.
Oh, you're lucky. Normally I do the big red dot,
but I'm going to dot you in green. Man. All right. Let me see. Is that kid here? Is there a Joel here? Good, I probably screwed up. One last grade to exam. Leandro!
Did you do your homework?
I know you did.
Did you find the rule of law that the court used?
I wrote a couple things down, but I wrote that the bar has a duty to protect its customers from third-party violence.
That's a decision.
Oh, that's a decision.
What rule did the court use to reach that decision? Do you want to help him?
Does it have something to do with foreseeability?
Oh, it does. Do you have anything in your notes about foreseeability?
Yeah, I do actually. I wrote that the foreseeability depends on the circumstance, not just the crimes that have happened before.
All right, question for you.
You get two questions.
Foreseeability.
What does that mean?
Like, foreseeability, like it can happen? Something can happen?
It could happen. It could happen.
Like foreshadowing? Obviously, they both have fore.
They do. So, but what is the likelihood of it happening? You said it could. Is it like I could win the Powerball?
No.
Type odds?
No. It's like it most likely will happen.
Most likely. More likely than not. So if I walk outside and it's raining, I might get wet.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. Okay, good. All right. So foreseeability. Are you telling us, and I just want to just basically echo, I think, what you're saying, is that if something is foreseeable, then there might be a duty.
Yeah.
And if one has a duty, and the harm is foreseeable, and if harm occurs,
they're liable.
Then they could be liable. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, that's good. I'll buy that.
Thank you. Gabriel? Do you do your homework?
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing on the roll? Do we have anything else we could possibly add?
I mean, I have kind of a couple of things where how foreseeability relies on like multiple factors.
Okay, so that's kind of like an explanation.
Explanation
what foreseeability applies. But again, I'm going back to the rule of law. Is there anything else that might have been stated the court looked at in terms of the rule that we might want to add? All right, we got a tag in, we got a lifeline. Do you have something?
The court took consideration of other cases.
Well, the court always will do that. The court will always do that. They'll try to look at precedent. They'll try to, because that's the whole stare decisis. They'll try seeing if there's something similar. You got something to add?
I don't know if this is accurate, but I also wrote that the bar, they don't, they're not like an insurer of safety.
Okay, again, we gotta be careful. When we're thinking of rules, we can't make it specific. Because if you have a rule that's specific to a particular individual or particular circumstance, that's not really helpful. So what type of entity is the bar?
It's a business.
It's a business. All right. So this is something also we have to think of in terms of standards. So we're talking about liability of a business. Business. I think I was on you, so I'm going to go back to you when I ask you this question. Is there a relationship between the parties, Kuhn and Pubzone? Is there any type of relationship?
He's just a patron.
He's a patron. So there is a relationship. All right. So now we're flushing some more concepts into our potential rule. So does a business owe a duty to a patron? Ooh. Getting closer. We're getting closer. But was it the business that caused the harm? No. Who caused the harm?
The pagans.
The pagans. What is the involvement in the relationship between this particular business and this particular patron? Is the pagans part of that relationship? No. So if someone's not part of a relationship, they're kind of like an outsider to the relationship. Legally speaking, what do we refer to them?
A third party.
A third party. All right, a third party. We're almost there. Let's spell party somewhat legible. Party. What if, and I don't know if we could apply this to other circumstances, but what if there is a rule that basically determines when a business owes a duty to a patron for the acts of a third party? Does that make sense? So when would a business, oh, by the way, are you ever responsible for the acts of somebody else? Generally, no, right? Who's responsible for the acts of somebody else? They are. So what's going on here is it's the bar didn't hurt the patron. No. Somebody else did. But we're trying to determine, is the business liable for the acts of somebody else? So, generally speaking, a business is not responsible for the acts of a third party committed to a patron. Unless, and this is the rule we need to remember, and it's already been said, said acts are? No.
Foreseeable.
So we know what the issue is. Trying to figure out, is the bar liable for the injuries that the party sustained caused by a third party? But we also have an established rule of law that yes, a bar or a business could be liable to the patron for the acts of a third party if those acts are foreseeable. So now with this rule, we can make sense of this case. Notice what we did. We jumped to the middle. We didn't start at the beginning. We work our way through. We went to the middle of what the court presented. But now we have to work backwards.
Hey, Abby. Hi.
Hey.
How are you? Yeah. Far to Midland?
Far to Middle.
No, far to Midland? It's kind of like Mats and Mats. I see, I see. Ah. Did you do your homework?
I did.
Outstanding. So you're not just there, you're superb. We got to now go back to the top.
What happened here?
Yeah,
who?
Kuhn?
Wait, he was in the banker gang?
No. Him as a planter.
Okay.
The biker gang.
Spider game. I think he is in the biker gang, yeah?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay. Biker gang's good?
Not usually, but no. It all depends on like what kind of biker gang it is.
Well, that's true. Although, I don't know too many biker gangs that give out, like, lollipops to kids, but you never know. I'm sure there's one out there. Okay. All right, so you got this guy in a biker gang. What happened?
There were a bunch of outlaws. The bikers were negative and were total.
Okay, so this is not the lollipop giving biker gang.
No.
Okay, I think we've covered that, but what did the biker gang do to the dude?
They beat him up in the bathroom.
They beat him up in the bathroom? His bathroom? Did they go into his house and beat him up?
No, they didn't.
Did the guy go into the biker gang's club?
No.
Where did this happen?
The pub zone.
The pub zone. Oh. Does anyone disagree with her so far? All right. I think I'm good with it. I think we'll go. We're going to go to somebody else. Thank you. That's a good start. All right. Samantha, you do your homework? Did you disagree with anything that Abby said? No? Okay. So, biker gang beat the shit out of this guy in a bar. Pub zone. Was it a gang bar?
No.
No. Who owned the bar?
It was called by Maria.
All right. Maria. Yeah, Mary or Maria?
Maria.
Maria, okay, Maria. All right, so she owned it. Was she part of the gang?
No.
Was she affiliated with the gang?
No, she even put out a policy not allowing gang colors to enter.
Oh, so she did not like the gang?
They brought trouble.
They brought trouble. Now, if you are in a business of any kind, do you want trouble coming through your front door?
No.
Now, why?
Bad for business.
Bad for business. By the way, the sole purpose of a business is to make money. Right? And if they have a situation where something bad happens, it makes it difficult for them to make money. And if a business can't make money, what happens to said business? It closes down and goes away. All right. So she's not with a big neon sign outside saying, "Hey, bikers, come in." She's actually trying to keep the bikers out. But here's the thing. How do you know who's a biker and who's not?
They had biker colors.
What does that mean? What are they like? Old crayons?
No, they have their own colors to identify themselves.
Yeah, but what's that mean? Colors. What's that?
Like their symbols or...
Oh, so they... Well, how did they display said symbols? Alright, so they advertised. Conspicuous consumption. Some people like Nike swishes, some people like skulls and burning fire and things like that. Alright, so if they're advertising that they're in a gang, why would they advertise that they're in a gang?
Because they're in a gang.
Because they're in a gang, but why are they advertising it?
So people know.
Oh, and if they know they're in a gang, what are they, how are they going to interact with them? They probably won't, right? Because what happens typically if you interact with a gang?
Trouble.
Trouble, okay. Do most people like trouble? Mm-hmm. All right, so we know businesses don't like trouble, and we know most people don't like trouble. So you said something about a policy?
Yeah, she put a sign on the door, not allowing gang colors to enter their club.
Last question for you. Why would she do that?
To try to decrease the gang's traffic within the pub.
Okay, so if a gang is in there and it's just a gang, is there going to be any violence?
It depends.
Well, more likely than not. Okay. If the only one there is everyone from the same gang, is there likely going to be trouble?
Yeah.
Well, what happens if gang one is there and someone from gang two comes in?
Most likely.
All right, so the idea is we're going to eliminate the most common likely outcomes of trouble by basically saying you can't tell who's in a gang and who's not. Okay, good. Actually, no, this brings one more question to my mind before we pass the baton. How did she think of this?
Did she have experience with gangs before?
Yes, they were having trouble at the pub before.
Okay.
With gang guns.
All right, so she was aware that gangs are trouble. She was aware that this gang is a trouble. Mm-hmm. And she was aware that if you have multiple guys going in there, wearing their colors and they're in gangs, then there could be trouble. And that's not good for business. So she made a policy and said no. Right?
Yes.
I think we're right on that. Anyone disagree?
No, good. Elijah, you do your homework? No. Alexis, did you do your homework?
I did.
Nice. All right, so we've had this narrative going along. We've had Abby start it. Samantha continued it. Do we disagree with anything that's been said so far? All right, so
how the hell did we get to a point where, like, who's Coon? How's he involved in all this?
He was a patron, was he?
Patron?
Patron.
He might be a patron. But patron? All right, yeah. So, was he part of the gang? Was he part of another gang? He was just the guy that did what?
Went into the bathroom and then got beat on her.
Well, before he got to the bathroom, he went into the...
to the pub zone.
The pub zone. Why did he go into the pub zone? Wait, you're telling me someone would go into a bar to have a drink? Is that rare? Is that unforeseeable? Is it common?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a guy. So he went, well, I'm just basically saying he wasn't doing anything suspicious. He wasn't doing anything illegal. He went in the bar to get a drink. Oh. And while he was sitting at the bar, what happened?
He decided to go use the bathroom.
He decided to go to use the bathroom. Is that rare? Or is that common? And usually when you go to the bathroom to use the bathroom, the expectation is that you're gonna?
Use the bathroom.
Okay. What happened in the bathroom? Did he slip and fall?
No.
Did he do something like, probably not like, ethical or moral in the stalls?
No.
Well, you know, sometimes people, when they're in bars and they go into the bathroom, there could be, like, secret rendezvous for things.
I mean, yeah, but more, like, he's just
going to
go use the bathroom.
So he's going down to use the bathroom, okay. What happened when he went into the bathroom?
He got attacked by three of the gang members.
Wait, I'm confused. I thought we weren't letting people into the bar.
Well, all of a sudden, she decided that night she didn't care.
So the bikers came in.
Yeah, it says the owner allowed them to stay and did not call the police, even though this clearly violated her own safety practices.
So they were wearing their colors?
Mm-hmm.
And wait. It wasn't mentioned before, but she had something in the policy that if someone comes in the colors, she's supposed to dial 911? And she did not? Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know.
Don't know. This is bizarre. So they were allowed to come in. They were brandishing their colors, which is a telltale sign that there could be shenanigans abound. And she did nothing about it. Huh. Did she sit there and watch them the whole time?
I don't think so.
Were there cameras in the men's room?
No.
Is that legal?
No.
So the bikers at some point left the bar, went into the bathroom. And Coon went in the bathroom, beat the shit out of him. Now, is that common?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to think. From my own experiences, I had a fake ID, so I visited those adult establishments when I was a minor. So going back probably at least 40 years, in all those instances that I've been in, bars, I've not once had the shit beat out of me by a biker gang in the bathroom. So it's probably not common.
Yeah, no.
No. But, was it foreseeable?
gonna, like, I wrote something about, like, foreseeability doesn't have to be, like, the exact time, like, which does not require predicting the exact victim, time, or location of the attack.
Okay, so foreseeability doesn't mean precision. Like, you can't anticipate at 9:47 p.m. that three guys, one of them being Rhino, is going to show up and find their way down to the bathroom at the precise moment in time when Coon decides to go and do a tinkle in the urinal. That's not foreseeability. What is foreseeability?
Well, the court emphasized that the owner had actual knowledge that the pagans were known for landing violence, not just gang-on-gang violence. She had evidence of police warnings, personal experience.
Oh, so, goddamn, you just broke my next question, because I was going to say prove it. Because if you're going to win in a case, you got to have proof. What proof are you alleging that she had?
Personal experience, prior incidents.
So personal experience. So she's dealt with gangs before?
With that specific gang.
With that specific gang. Oh. What else did she... What other proof?
She had evidence of police warnings. She knew that they were, like, known for random violence.
And did she try doing something about it?
Well, she tried to put her little sign on the door that said no colors or anything, and then she just...
That's evidence that she knew that there was problems, and she tried to mitigate the problems, but she didn't follow through. You had a question?
We know when the Beckers come in, there's typically trouble. I don't know if it's said in the thing, but when there's trouble there, does that usually just include the bike gang, or does, like, or are other people typically collateral of a situation between?
So, it does say in the case that gang activity was prevalent in this town. And that there were gangs, not just the pagans, but there were other gangs that were causing issues at the other bars. And all of the businesses were aware. But she tried doing something about it. And did she follow through? One last question for you. If she followed through, and they still did what they did, being the gang, would the outcome be different? Yes, it would. Because do we as human beings have the ability to stop all actions by other people? No. But she didn't follow through.
Yes?
So the one thing in the case that stands out with what the kind of the line of questioning we were just asking is she talked to Coon and Petey, who was the bouncer, and they gave an okay and said it was fine because Coon knew who they were because he's a bike enthusiast, and he gave the okay for them to have one drink. So she allowed that to happen.
Is a patron in control of a business.
No, but she allowed it. So
I realize
she's opened that.
She opened the door. Yep.
She invited him into being a part of the decision where she should have stood her ground and said, no, this isn't what it is.
Can a vampire cross the threshold?
If you invite him in.
If you invite him in. Exactly. So did you have a question with that? Because you're right.
Well, no, I just wanted to...
Okay. All right.
Like, it just kind of one of those things that was like.
Okay, good.
So, we've covered the issue. We've covered the rule. We did a quick summary of the facts. Is there any exception to the rule that the court made? So, was there something in this case that was so unique? The court basically said, we've always done it this way, but in this circumstance and going forward, we're going to do it this way. Was there any exception touched upon? Or was this rule of law already in place?
Wasn't it made by a jury? I have the animal officer, but it's a civil law and it was taken to court. The decision was made by a jury.
The decision was made by a jury because he requested it. But the jury doesn't make the rules of law. Courts do. So the court and the jury made a decision based upon existing rules. So in this particular instance, no, there is no exception. Some cases, we're going to see that in landmark cases, and the court's going to carve out something different. But they didn't do it here. The rule was already in place. Generally speaking, party's not liable for the actions of a third party. But you will have a duty if the acts of those third party are foreseeable. Where did the case, or rather, what did the court decide? Kelly, you did your homework, right? What did the court decide?
The court decided that the Pub Zone owed a duty of care to Coon, and the trial court improperly granted Gino.
What's Gino?
It's judgment notwithstanding the verdict.
What does that mean?
I'm a little nervous.
Why?
I can't speak anymore.
Why? You've gotten two right. You're doing fine. Do you know what J-Dog is?
I do.
What is it? I'm smiling because you're like, you got it.
It's not going to come out.
Why not?
I can't do
it. I didn't put it in Latin, did I?
No.
Oh, okay. What do you got? You're fine. Lifeline, what's Janoff?
Judgment notwithstanding the verdict.
We said that already. What does that mean?
When a judge overturns a jury.
Wait, hold on a second. I thought that based on all the courtroom dramas and everything that we learned that is supposedly the truth, that if a jury decides, that's the outcome. Now you're saying that a judge can sit there and say to a jury, no?
Yeah.
When can a judge do that?
Can't tell you that.
I know, because we haven't covered it yet.
Is it when the judge believes that it's like disproportional?
Oh, when the judge feels that the jury's going, remember, you've heard this expression before, checks and balances. You know, our civic system, our governmental system, has all types of checks and balances in it. And some are big, like the president can veto a law passed by Congress, but some of them are small. If a jury acts improper, if a jury goes off the rail, the judge for justice has the ability to grant a motion for JNOV, judgment notwithstanding a verdict, and he basically can overturn a jury's decision. Because in the trial, who won? Coon won in the trial, but the judge didn't think so. The judge didn't think Coon deserved it. That's why we ended up with the appeal, because we're trying to determine, did the trial court get it right or did they get it wrong? And here, the court that reviewed it said, no, they got it wrong. Right? Okay. Why, though? Why? Someone bring everything we covered home. I'll take a volunteer on this one.
Because she had prior knowledge and experience with them, foreseeability, and she ultimately didn't take proper precautions.
So she breached her duty. She failed her duty.
And she didn't use her policy.
She didn't use her policy that she put in place. So does she deserve to win? No. She knew about it. The law establishes the duty for businesses to protect patrons from known harm by a third party, and she did not. Therefore, she must pay. How much?
$300,000.
$300,000. The guy got the shit kicked out of him, inches from death, and he got $300,000. Should he have gotten more? What year did this case take place?
2003.
How many of you were alive in 2003? Just alive. All right. Well, let me tell you, everything has probably gone up, what, 80% in terms of money since 2003? In 2003, you could probably still get like a gallon of milk for like a buck and a quarter.
I know, I got one of those posters because that's when my daughter was born and I put all that stuff on it. But yeah, prices were a lot less with zeros than they are now. So today probably would be the equivalent of six figures. But yeah, $300,000 back then, that was a lot of money. Obviously enough to cover his medical expenses, pain and suffering and so on. Could she have avoided it? Yeah. She knew. She was a business owner. She knew it was coming. She knew it was possible. She knew it was likely. And she didn't. That split decision that Heidi mentioned. She had her policy. She knew there was a problem. But she said, eh, this guy's vouching for me. That should be a lesson. Any of you ever plan on owning a business? If you have a policy, stick to the policy. Because if she stuck to the policy, yeah, the guys might have flipped out. They might have made a scene. But you know something? She wouldn't have had to write a check for $300,000. Make sure your names are on your cases. Pass them on.
Did they push with the bouncer?
They did. They kind of walked there. But again, when they got up in the room, she was going to call, and the coon said, no, they're fine. Yes.
So I wrote it in my notebook where I keep my notes, and basically, like, I wrote it on the back.
Take a picture of the back side of the notes. I want the case because I'm going to grade them. Okay. Well, look at it. By the way, my advice is get like multi-subject notebooks because we're going to have 10 of these, and you're going to have at least paper to get the be able to do your homeworks on. Because I want homework handwritten. What? Yeah, take a picture of it, keep it in your notebook, and then email it to me, like, now. Okay. Do I got them all? Yep.
What happens if the business doesn't have the money?
Oh, they do.
Oh, they do?
It's called insurance.
Oh.
But what happens if someone sues you and you don't have the money? Yeah, you will eventually have to pay. The court can do things like if it's an individual getting sued, they can attach their wages. They could take their house, they could force them to sell stuff. Yeah. So again, that's the reason why, and it boils down to the advice that I've always given to my kids. Don't be dumb.
Isn't that what they did with OJ?
Yeah. Yeah, but he never paid until he died.
But that's why he went to jail.
No, he went to jail because he broke into the house
because somebody was selling his stuff. That he was like, no, I should be able to sell that.
He broke into a sports memorabilia place because he wanted it back. So that way he could do with it as he wanted. Yeah, yeah. But, he still committed another crime, which he shouldn't have done. That was pretty dumb. All right. What am I doing? Oh, wrong thing. That's fine. All right, I'm going to open up this one. So now what we're going to do is we're going to figure out kind of like how the court operates. Because ultimately, if we don't know how the court does what the court's supposed to do, how are we going to figure out where the heck did I do the money? It's dangling. I was hanging it. If we don't know how the court operates, then how are we going to deal with lawsuits and all the rest? How are we going to understand? And by the way, I'm pretty sure this information is in Chapter 2. And I know some of you ordered the books and there's issues. I got it. The books will come when they come. Not too worried about it. All right. Ultimately, every single lawsuit, stems from some type of dispute. All kinds. Someone did something to somebody else that the other party did not like, did not want, did not give their consent. By the way, if you do give consent, can you be sued after giving consent? Or can you sue? If you give someone consent to do something to you and they do it, can you turn around and sue them?
Not.
Well, it depends. Because it's consent forever.
No.
No. Not at all. Consent can be revoked at any point.
All right. Now, we're going to focus primarily on the civil process, but I will put references in where the criminal case is different. All right. Ultimately, the reason why the law exists is to provide a mechanism to solve the dispute. Because ultimately, if one party does something to another, they should receive some type of justice. Why? Well, you don't want self-help. If you smash into my car, all right, you cause damage to my car, do you want me showing up at your house with a shotgun? No, you don't want that, because that could result in a worse situation. So that's the reason why the court exists, to prevent the other party from retaliation, from engaging in self-help. But of course, there is a limit. There is a limit. And there are steps that need to be done before the law will get involved. And there are also some things we need to be aware of. Law can't fix everything. The law cannot fix everything. The law only has the ability to cure legal wrongs. Wrongs that are acknowledged in the law. So, if I am driving down the street and I'm listening to, I don't know, one of my favorite bands, Sepultura, and you don't like Brazilian death metal music, and as I drive by, you start crying, is there any type of legal remedy that you can receive? No, the court's not going to give you a tissue. The court doesn't exist to have judgments on tastes in music. The second thing, I must have actually done something to you that is defined in the law as a cause of action.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Welcome. So, what's a cause of action? Breach of a duty. That's a cause of action.
I failed to do something I was supposed to do. That gives justification to get in the court.
And the burden is always on the party bringing the claim.
They must have evidence to prove their case.
Why did Kuhn lose?
Because he was able to get from Maria her testimony saying that she knew that the gangs were a problem, that she created a policy. That if they came in, she was supposed to call 911 and she didn't. That's proof.
If you have no proof, you will not win. Why? Because you could be making it up. Case in point. One of the worst incidents in my life occurred when I was in college.
Second semester, my freshman year. I broke up with my girlfriend in the middle of the first semester. Why? It just wasn't working. I tried doing the good thing. I didn't like break up with her by text, although that wasn't possible back then. I went and I met with her, had a long conversation, just kind of explained, hey, you know something? I didn't say what I was really thinking, like you annoy the fucking shit out of me and I can't stand you anymore. Just like, look, we weren't meant to be. You know, it was like trying to pair spaghetti with jelly. It just doesn't work. Yeah, and I tried, okay, well, you know, I'll still be friends and all the rest. And I just kind of went on and I did my own thing. Well, second semester, she calls me up out of the blue. And she's like, I'm pregnant. I'm trying to do like a mental,
Like, when was the last time we actually did what could result in that? And it just, I didn't know about it, of course. I was young and dumb and freaking out. I'm like, holy crap. And then she wanted to come back and be together. Because she was not going to get an abortion. She didn't believe in abortion. And she wanted to, you know, to bring the baby into this world. And she wanted me to be the dad and be involved. Okay, fine. All the pressure, the sweat, and all the rest. Well, lo and behold, I found out that she was, in fact, pregnant. But she was only 2 months pregnant. And how did I find this out? Well, one of her girlfriends told me that she had started dating somebody else 3 weeks after we broke up. So she's telling me this in February, and I broke up with her in November. Uh-oh. She actually didn't have proof that I was the dad.
So I found out and said, sayonara, chicky babe.
In order to win, you must have provable evidence.
And that's not always easy to get. So here we go. Obviously, this one's relevant. So let's say
we're going to have a snowstorm on Saturday. Right? It's going to be a snowstorm.
And it's going to be the wet, heavy snow because we're going to finally get out of this frozen metropolis that we've been in. All right? You come up to my house and you offer to shovel my driveway for $50. All right?
Well, here's the thing. I'm the only one home. You're standing on my porch. And there's no neighbors about.
You, all excited that I'm going to pay you $50,
goes out and shovels the driveway.
And then when you're done, you go up and you ring my doorbell. And you say,
can I have my $50 now? And I say, go pound sand. And slam the door in your face. Did I commit a legal wrong? Have you ever heard of oral contracts? Did I make a promise to you to do something that I did not legally have to do? Absolutely. I promised to pay you $50. And did you make a promise to me to do something you were not legally obligated to do? Absolutely. You didn't have to show my driveway. But you did, because I promised to pay you $50. We actually have a contract. And did I fulfill my, or did you fulfill your obligation? Yes. Did I fulfill my obligation? No. Which is called a breach. And you got to win in court.
How would you prove that in court?
I know. That's the question I'm asking you. How are you going to prove it? Because we know there's a legal matter here at stake. There is contract. You can orally contract. You fulfill your duty. I did not fulfill mine. I am in breach. How are you going to prove that I am in breach when it's just my word versus your word and no witnesses?
Did it happen now? Did it happen recently?
We're saying in the realm of hypothetical.
So all the cameras that they have now?
All right, fine. Is there any cameras? We're going to say, no, we're not going to let you get that easy.
Could the guy who shoveled use that as proof? Because he did his duty, shovel the driveway. Could he take a picture of that and use that as evidence?
Oh, absolutely.
But what if
what would that show?
A driveway was shoveled.
Right. How are you going to prove that he shoveled it?
Because the other guy could just say, that's my driveway, I shoveled.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. How are you going to prove it? So you're going down an interesting path, but you hit a wall. Back.
Like if I take a picture of the house and shovel it with the driveway,
basically say in the report that, like, he basically doesn't, like, the guy that you're going against, is it like he doesn't belong to me, so I'm taking the picture of the house that was shoveled, right?
Okay, so you're going to take a picture of the house?
When it's shoveled.
When it's shoveled.
Yeah, with the street address on it and everything.
Okay. Again, you're taking a picture of a house with a shovel driveway.
I don't think it would prove that you guys had an agreement, but I feel like it'd be better to record yourself shoveling it.
You didn't think of it, because you thought Lemanic is an honorable guy and promised to pay $50, and he's going to pay $50.
What if, like, maybe someone else saw?
We said there was nobody in around.
What if I was the one who shoveled and I got other people who have paid me $50? Like other people that I've shoveled their driveways.
So you're going to kind of... Now, here's the thing. This is a civil claim. This is not a criminal case. Criminal case, beyond a reasonable doubt. You would need witnesses. You would need video. You would need, you know, some type of proof of contract. That's not what's going on here. This is a civil case. Are you in the business of shoveling? Do you have proof that you've shoveled over the other driveways? That's something. Can anyone think of anything else? Did it snow? Do you have actual proof that it snowed? Okay. Anything else? God, we're putting on our lawyer thinking hat. Come on. Lawyers are slimy. They look for every remote possibility. Because we're trying to persuade the jury.
The shovel streets. Your shovel.
What?
The shovel streets or something.
Shoveled streets?
No, the shoveled, like, streaks from the shovel. Take a picture of it and that's your shovel.
That might be a good thing to do after the fact. You know, okay, fine. So what is the width of the shovel? And look at the width of my shovel. That might be something you could present. Anything else?
Are we assuming this person has a problem with that shovel?
Yeah, we probably shouldn't. We probably shouldn't, because what if they don't? What if the reason why they're shoveling is they're trying to earn up a new money because they dropped their iPhone and screen chatted and it's completely useful. So maybe we're going to knock that out. But maybe it's going to stay. It all depends upon the circumstances. Do we think that you could also argue, why else would I be in court squawking over $50 if I didn't do it? Do you think that might be persuasive on the jury, if there is a jury or a judge? Does it absolutely prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you shoveled? But does it show that you might have? Oh, that's the only standard we need in a civil trial. Does not have to be a slam dunk. It has to be possible. Could it have happened? Might it have happened? All right. Questions? Now, ultimately, the challenge of going to court, the challenge of trying to solve disputes, is that going to court is not easy. I'm not saying they intentionally make it difficult, but it is a pain in the tuchus. Why? Well, if you're going to court, how many of you know how the courts operate? You know all the little ins and outs, all the tricks. So would you ever go into court by yourself? Were you going to seek the help of somebody? Who?
Lawyer.
300 to $500 an hour. If a client calls me, I see the number, look at my watch. And you know what happens the moment I kind of flex my wrist? It's a digital watch. But what is moving the moment I look at it? Time. Billable time. Go to court, it costs a lot of money. And the lawyer is going to take money off the backside as well. And it's crapshoot.
no guarantee you're going to win. And time. Have any of you had to even go to court just to fight like a parking ticket or a speeding ticket? Could you do it when you were at work? Could you do it at a time that was convenient for you? And was it over and done momentarily? If you go to trial, we're talking about a process that could take years. Is all of that worth it over a dispute over $50 for not shoveling my driveway? Colby's saying yes. You a man of principle? What? No? No. Well, if you piss me off enough, I'd go to court over $50. Oh, wait, I could represent myself. I'm a lawyer. So, what has occurred in our legal system, and this is going to be the last chunk of information we're going to cover because I am mindful of time, is that in our legal system, there have been alternative forms of dispute resolution that have arisen, commonly referred to as ADR, as a cheaper, easier, more cost-effective method of getting the outcome. Now, there are many forms, but here are the most popular three. The first costs nothing. This is negotiation. This is when you have a beef with somebody and you talk to them about it. And you come up with some type of compromise. So, your buddy borrowed your car, and then while they were driving, they spilt soda in your car. It made a big mess. You want to make him pay for full cleaning services. They're willing to come over your house and spend a few hours in your car trying to clean up the mess. You basically decide, well, that's fine, but you have to supply all of like the rags and the cleaning stuff. Shake hands, problem solved. I'm sure you'll deal with a situation today where you have an issue with somebody and you'll have to come up with some type of compromise. Hell, I'll tell you, Mrs. Professor Lomanic is going to want to watch some annoying, god-awful television show tonight. On my TV, as I'm trying to sit in my lounge chair in front of the pellet stove staying warm. I want to sit in my chair. I love my chair. I want to sit in the pellet stove. Don't want to watch her crap. Fine, we'll make a compromise. I get to watch the news up until her crap's on. Compromise. Fine. Problem solved. Negotiations. Well, what happens if you got to bring somebody else in? Well, you could also go to mediation. There are licensed, trained mediators that can be hired that will basically sit down and, like this little image shows, that will hold the hands of both parties and try getting them to work out a solution. So the mediator is not going to tell them the outcome. The mediator is going to get them to reach that compromise. Now, this could involve money, because most mediators are paid. But it's cheaper than getting a lawyer and going to court. The last form, and this is where we gotta end it, is more formal. It's called arbitration. Arbitration is kind of like Judge Judy or Judge Wapner with the People's Court. That's actually arbitration. Both parties agree to go into this venue. They're going to make their case, and both parties agree to adhere to whatever is decided. So it's not the parties that's going to decide the outcome. It's going to be the arbiter. It's going to be the person hired to solve the problem. If the arbiter makes a decision, the parties are bound. But both parties have the ability to go into court if they don't like the outcome. But if you go arbitration,
That's time and money. And then if you go into court, that's more time and money. But ultimately, these are opportunities to save some money and time up front. Questions? I'll see you on one second. Nothing assigned. Nothing assigned. No.